We turn in God's Word tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We continue our series on this letter that was written by Paul to Timothy as he was the pastor in the church in Ephesus. So it wasn't just for Timothy, but also for the church in Ephesus and the church today as well. We're almost to the end of our series. We'll have one more sermon after this one, and that will bring us to the conclusion of it. The text tonight will be verses 11 through 16 of 1 Timothy 6, and we'll read the entire chapter. This is the Word of God. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, but the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches from the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. And thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text tonight is verses 11 through 16. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we know that we're engaged in a great battle, and we know also that we're weak, and we need encouragement. We pray that thou wilt use this word tonight to encourage us in the battle of faith. So in those moments when we are weak and we are tired and we are weary, that we would be renewed and refreshed to go forth in this battle in the strength that thou alone dost give through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank thee then for this word for us and pray thy blessing upon it and give strength to thy servant as he brings this word to us. We pray that he may have the physical strength that is necessary, that his voice would be strong as well. And we pray that thou will give to him clarity of mind and speech. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage that we consider tonight is a call to fight. It's the main part of the text, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. So a call to fight, that doesn't mean that all fighting is good. No, there's a good fight. There are many bad fights. Children, you know bad fights. If you fight with your brother or sister, it's not a good fight. If we're selfish, we're coveting things and we don't get what we want and we're angry because of that and we fight with others about it, that's not a good fight. In the context of 1 Timothy 6 and the broader context of the book of 1 Timothy, Paul was saying to Timothy, there are some fights that are not good fights. There's some that are worthless. Don't get involved in those things. There are men who are disputing about things that don't matter. Those are not good fights. They're about trivial matters. And that was happening in the church in Ephesus. So, contrast to all of that, there is a good fight. It is the fight of faith, a spiritual battle of faith that God calls us to fight. And that's the text that we have before us. The text is before us because in this battle, in this fight, we need encouragement. We read about the president of our own nation sometimes doing that. He'll surprisingly, last minute as it were, fly into a place where the troops are fighting. And he does that because the battle is difficult and he wants to encourage them. He wants to build their morale. He wants to give them strength and encouragement to go forward in the battle that is before them. That's what our God does for us tonight. The battle is wearying, the battle is difficult, but the commander-in-chief, as it were, God himself, brings us a word to encourage us in this battle so we may go forward in it in this week, in our lives, being faithful soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we have in this passage. We keep that in mind then as we consider this passage under the theme, the fight until Christ returns. The fight until Christ returns. We notice first the good fight. Secondly, the divine commission. And then thirdly, the glorious doxology. So at the end of this passage, Paul breaks forth in a doxology of praise to this one who calls us to fight. So first we look at the good fight. This good fight is the spiritual battle for those who are soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this battle tonight, there are really three questions that we answer. The first is who, the second is what, and the third is how. Who, what, and how. The how is going to be the second part of this first point, the main B, as you have it in your outline. The first two questions, the who and the what, are what we consider here first, so that we understand this spiritual battle. We notice that this command comes to the man of God. We read of that in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he identifies Timothy as a man of God. To be a man of God means that he belongs to God. And he belongs to God because God set his love on him. Timothy belongs to God because he is redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Timothy here is identified then as a man of God in contrast to false teachers who were not men of God. And Paul has in mind there those who consent not to healthy or wholesome words that we read about, who are just concerned with winning arguments about trivial and unimportant matters. And in contrast to them, Paul identifies Timothy as a man of God. But this word here is not just for Timothy. But essentially, we are all men of God, or people of God. We are the people of God because we are loved by God. He set his love upon us from all eternity. And we are those who are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And as those who are redeemed, we're called out of this world. And as those called out of this world, we are called to live in this world as soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the people of God, we are called to fight. That means that as Christians, we ought to have a fighting mentality. I understand that rightly. A fighting mentality. Not a fighting mentality among ourselves, but a fighting mentality when it comes to the enemy that we will consider in a few moments. But the idea here is that those who belong to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ know that they are fighting for a good cause and in a good fight. It's for God's glory. It's for his kingdom. And this is about things that truly matter. This fight that we are in as the soldiers of Jesus Christ is truly a good fight. So that's the who. That brings up the next question, the what. What is this good spiritual battle that is identified here in the text as the fight of faith? Well, first of all, we must look at that word, faith. It's important we look at that word because there are two ways that this word can be looked at and viewed. The first way is when we think of faith, we might think of the content of our faith. We might think of what it is that we confess when we confess our faith. And the Heidelberg Catechism tells us that there are certain things that are necessary for a Christian to believe. And these are the things that are not only found in the Apostles' Creed, but we know as well that these things are explained for us in our confessions. That's the content of our faith. That's faith that is objective. That on the one hand, but faith also in the Scriptures is spoken of from the perspective of the activity of faith. We are those who are united to Jesus Christ, and as those united to Jesus Christ, we are active in our faith, having the confidence of faith, knowledge and confidence, or in the biblical language, trusting or believing. The text here is speaking of faith, not from the first perspective of objective faith, but it's talking about faith from the perspective of the activity of faith, our union with Jesus Christ and our believing in him, our trusting in him, our knowing him and having confidence in him and his saving work. The idea is this. Our relationship to Jesus Christ, our being united to Jesus Christ, results in a life of fighting for us. But still we must identify what this battle is in contrast to the foolish fights that Paul was warning Timothy of here in this book. This fight is noble. That's the idea of the word good. It's a good fight. It's worthy. It's noble. It's something worth fighting for. And this is really what it boils down to. It's a battle for living out of faith in Jesus Christ. It's a battle for living in a way which is consistent with our confession of Jesus Christ, but our believing in Jesus Christ. So it's living in relationship to Him. And what that means for living in a world of sin and battling against sin in our own lives. Part of understanding this battle is understanding that in this battle, we face a threefold enemy. It's a threefold enemy of Satan and the world and our sinful flesh. These enemies are constantly attacking the church. They're attacking the gospel. They're attacking with false teachings. They're attacking with worldliness. The goal of the enemy is to turn the church, to turn the members of the church away from Jesus Christ. To turn away from trusting in Him and having confidence in Him so that we instead would trust in ourselves or trust in the things of this world. The enemy is constantly attacking us, wanting to take hold of our hearts so that we resign ourselves to the power of sin and live for self in the midst of this world. In many ways that the world attacks and Satan attacks and our sinful flesh attacks as well. But remember the context here. Remember what Paul was warning Timothy of. He was warning him of covetousness. He was warning him of the love of money. He was warning him of idolatry. And he was warning him as well of pride that stands behind such sins. And he's saying, in contrast to all of that, you must fight against that because all of that leads away from Jesus Christ and leads away from trusting in Him. And now, in contrast to all of that, fight this good fight of faith. Living out of your union with Jesus Christ. Living out of what it is that you believe and what it is that you know. Fight the good fight of faith. Well, that's the who and the what. What is emphasized in the text is the how. How is this done? And out of the text, we find four things that are part of the how we fight the good fight of faith. It's first of all, flee. Secondly, pursue certain things. Third, lay hold on the prize of eternal life. And fourthly, it is that we're faithful to the very end. Be faithful to the end. So first of all, flee. That's verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. An important part of fighting the good fight of faith is fleeing. Even when there's physical battle and armies are fighting against one another, it's important for a general and for an army to know when they ought to flee, when they ought to turn around and run. But we see and understand that for us as the people of God, it's important to understand that part of the battle is fleeing. It's fleeing certain things. It's fleeing from sin. It's fleeing from the love of money. It's fleeing from pride. It's fleeing from envy. It's fleeing from fighting. It's fleeing from all ungodliness. So Paul's saying that, first of all, to Timothy. Timothy, as a pastor in the church, flee these things. It's an important word for pastors. It's not just for you. This is a word first for me. In the work of the ministry, don't live for the love of money. Don't live in pride, thinking that you know it all. Don't live thinking that others ought to do everything that you want them to do. Don't live in envy. Don't be a brawler. That's one of the qualifications for an elder pastor then too, that he's not a brawler. He's not a man who just loves a good argument and a good fight. No, don't be that kind of man. Don't be a man who's seeking after ungodliness. But that's the word of God as well to the church. Flee these things. Now tonight, as I listed some things because they come out of the context, love of money, pride, envy, fighting, and all ungodliness. We're reminded then to take some time tonight, each of us individually, thinking about what are sins in my life that I need to flee right now? Where do I need to turn away from something? Where am I struggling? Where do I need help? Well, the Word of God comes to us and says, in this good fight of faith, living by your faith in Jesus Christ and your union with Him, part of that is doing this, flee from sin. Secondly, pursue. That's what we find in the second part of verse 11. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And the word follow is a military term. And the military term here is pursue. So you know that an army might pursue its enemy to destroy that enemy. But here the word pursue is used in a bit of a different way. Not to pursue after sin. No, we flee from sin, but we pursue those things that are good and right. Not only must we flee at times, but also in this flight, we pursue that which is good. To pursue means that we live in a certain way. We live an ordered life. We live a structured life. A life that is ordered and structured by the Word of God. We know that soldiers in the military are taught to live structured lives. And their lives are very regimented and structured so that in that way they're taught to be faithful soldiers of Jesus Christ. Or faithful soldiers of the army. But the idea for us too is that we ought to live structured lives. Lives that are structured by the Word of God. Structured by the times of prayer that we have. And structured by the times of worship that we have. And then structured so that we are fleeing ungodliness and sin, and then pursuing that which is good and right. And the idea of this is that we're doing this because we're dedicated to the One who is our King. Remember, faith unites us to Jesus Christ. We live in relationship to Him. So this pursuit is not just of these things. In the end, it's the pursuit of Jesus Christ Himself. That's what faith does. Faith embraces Him. Faith pursues Jesus Christ, believing in Him, believing in His death and resurrection. What is it then that we are to pursue in our lives? Well, the emphasis really there is godliness. And we saw that in the context as well. We've looked at that concept of godliness. What a beautiful concept that is. Godliness is not just obedience, it's partly that. But godliness is living in awe of God, a reverence for God. It's seeing and knowing His greatness and majesty and bowing before that and then living that out in our lives by obeying His Word and His commandments. That's what we're to pursue, godliness in our lives. And we do that by pursuing righteousness. What's righteousness? Well, living in obedience to the law of God. We're to pursue godliness by living in faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. We are to pursue godliness by loving, selflessly serving others and serving our great God. We are to live in godliness in patience, the text says, staying strong in faith even when there are great burdens and struggles in our lives. Oh, how hard patience is, isn't it? And then meekness. Meekness is living in submission to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's power under the authority of Christ Himself. When we pursue this life of godliness, then we are pursuing Jesus Christ Himself. I seem to understand what that means. What that means is we're going to pursue Christ and we're going to pursue this godliness and righteousness and faith and love and patience and meekness by being where Jesus Christ meets us. Where does Jesus Christ meet us? He meets us in His Word. So in this battle, part of it is we're going to be in the Word. This is part of the structure of our lives. And we're going to be under the ministry of the Word in the church because there the Word is found. And we want to be in the Word together as people of God, studying the Word together in Bible studies or discussion groups that we have. We pursue that which is right and good in this battle by worshiping, by reading our Bibles, by having family worship in our homes, by spending time in the Word individually, listening to what God says. So how do we fight? We flee. Secondly, we pursue. And third, we lay hold on eternal life. We lay hold on the prize of eternal life, the sure victory that is ours. That's what's so striking about this fighting the good fight of faith. In this fight, you and I are not fighting for a victory. The victory has already been accomplished by Jesus Christ. The victory is sure and certain. So Paul doesn't say to Timothy and to the church then, fight for the victory. He's saying, no, lay hold on eternal life. The victory of eternal life is yours already in Jesus Christ. So we're not fighting for the victory. We're fighting in the awareness of that victory and in the knowledge of that victory. So by faith, we lay hold on this victory of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Let's see and understand what that victory is. It's the victory of life and fellowship with God forevermore. It's the victory of seeing Jesus Christ one day face to face. It's the victory of having a life where there is fellowship with joy and fellowship with God, and therefore there is joy in this life, even in some of the worst sorrows. There is still joy in this life because we have a sure and certain victory. That is why some of the great doctrinal errors that have been found in the history of the church are so serious. It's because they really rob the child of God of laying hold on eternal life. I think, for example, of the old error of Arminianism. And part of that error of the Arminianism or the remonstrance is the idea that one can fall out of grace or fall out of their salvation. They can lose their salvation. And that's even part of the gross error of the federal vision in our own day. It's one of the great dangers of it, because in what they teach, a man can lose salvation. He can once have the grace of God and then lose that grace of God. And that's not consistent with the Word of God. But here we see and understand someone who would hold on to those things does not lay hold on the surety of eternal life. But here's why this is important in the battle. The idea is that in the midst of the battle, we keep our minds fixed on this. Don't forget in the battle that the victory has been won and everlasting life is ours through Jesus Christ. This is what spurs us on to faithfulness in this battle. If our salvation depended upon our faithfulness, if this everlasting life depended upon our faithfulness, how discouraging that would be. But because it's sure and certain, this is set before us. And the Apostle Paul says then to Timothy and to us today, remember this victory and have your eyes fixed on that. What that means for us is that in our lives, we ought to be talking more and more about heaven. There are times we talk about it. Death comes. Whether for an 18-year-old young man in Iowa that we've heard about, or an elderly saint in her 90s like Betty Kaminga. As families, when we're touched by these things, those are the times we talk about heaven. But let's not forget to talk to our children about heaven, to talk to each other about heaven, to remind ourselves of the prize of everlasting life that we have in Jesus Christ, so that we might be spurred on to be faithful in this good fight of faith. And then finally, the text says, fourthly then, that part of this fight is that we are faithful to the very end. That's verse 14. We'll come back to verse 14 a little bit later. But it says there that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea here is that this battle is a long battle. It's not short. The battle goes on until Jesus Christ comes. We don't know when Jesus Christ will come. Oh, we often talk about that, don't we? With the things going on in the world today, and just as those who have gone before us, our forefathers, have talked about it and thought it was coming very near, so also we talk about it and say it must be coming very near, but we don't know how long it will be. The idea here is that the battle is long. We get tired. We grow weary in it. Unless we are taken to heaven very soon. But the idea is this, in this battle we must not let up. We must keep on fighting until Christ returns. We need to train our children, teach them to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, encourage them in the battle, encourage one another in the battle, and continue on in this. Be faithful to the end. That's part of fighting the good fight of faith. So we've seen the who. It's for soldiers of Jesus Christ. Those who are the people of God. We've seen the what. It's a spiritual battle of faith. A battle that arises out of a relationship to Christ and our believing in Jesus Christ. Now it's a battle to live out of that faith in Jesus Christ. And we've seen the how. Flee, pursue, lay hold on eternal life, and be faithful to the end. But we see as well in the text that there is a divine commission that is given. A divine commission. Paul reminds Timothy of this. We find that in verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. What's Paul doing here? Well, what Paul is doing here is he's saying, this isn't just from me to you, Timothy. But it's a reminder to Timothy and a reminder to the church in Ephesus that this is a word that has come from the commander in chief himself. This word to fight the good fight of faith is not just a suggestion. It's the commission of the general-in-chief, God Himself, and Jesus Christ, the general who sits at His right hand. This commission comes from the highest rank in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from the top. And therefore, it is a command and a commission that must be obeyed, that must be followed in all of life. It's not just from Paul. It's from God Himself. And what's so beautiful here is that God and Christ our Savior are described here in a particular way to give encouragement in the battle. Yes, this is a word, a commission that has come from God Himself. But let's see and know who this God is and who this Jesus Christ is as well. So we see what the text says. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. The word quicken means to make alive. He is the King, the Lord, who makes alive. He's the God who makes alive all physical things. He's the Creator of the heavens and the earth. We'll soon see that in the creation itself. We got a little taste of the sunshine and the warmth today. And we know that spring is around the corner, and the creation itself will come to life again. And we'll be reminded in that of the God of providence who gives life even to the creation, even as He did at the very beginning when He created all things. It's amazing how the Scriptures take us back to this over and over again, that God is our Creator. The Scriptures constantly go back to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And it's something we're reminded of in our worship every Sunday as well. After we hear Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ and we respond, our help is in the name of Jehovah who made heaven and earth. Our response to God brings us back to the fact that God is the Creator of all things. But not only is He the God who gives physical life, He is also the God who gives spiritual life within the church. He is the God who gives that life on the basis of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He does that through the work of the Holy Spirit who dwells in the hearts of His people. And that Holy Spirit gives life as we are connected, united to Jesus Christ. We see and understand then that when Paul speaks of the commander-in-chief, the King, the God, from whom this command comes, this is not simply name-dropping. Sometimes that happens, even within the church. We want to prove a point, and so we go to someone else who's a notable figure in the church and say, well, this is what he said, and I agree with him, therefore it must be right. Well, Paul's not just name-dropping here. Instead, what Paul is doing is he's pointing out that the King, this God, He is the one who is able to give life, and that gives encouragement to us in this good fight of faith. What he's pointing out is that this God will give what He promises to give. He's the God who gives life, and this God who gives life powerfully, wondrously, He is the God who will bring in the end that everlasting life. And He's the God who will sustain us in the midst of this battle. Secondly, Paul points us to Jesus Christ. Notice that in verse 13. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. This is what we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. He witnessed a good confession when He was on trial before Pontius Pilate. What was Christ's confession before Pontius Pilate? I will remind you what we read in John 18. John 18, verses 33 and following. Remember the dialogue between Pilate and Jesus. Remember Pilate's question at the very beginning. Are you the King of the Jews? Pilate had heard about this Jesus. He knew the accusation of the leaders of the Jews. This is his question. Are you the King of the Jews? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom from hence. So Jesus is saying about his kingdom is not of this world. I'm not an earthly king as you might think about it, Pilate. But instead, I'm a spiritual king of a spiritual kingdom. Pilate asks again, Are you a king then? He still doesn't understand. And Jesus said, To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. It seems like Jesus doesn't answer his question, but he does. The point is, his people believe him. They believe what he says. Pilate doesn't. Pilate doesn't understand. In fact, what Pilate says just after this is, what is truth? And then he moves on. He doesn't want an answer to that. Jesus gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, Jesus' confession is the confession that he gave just before he died on the cross. So it's not just the confession that Jesus gave, but he gave a confession concerning his kingdom that is an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that would be established upon the work that he would do upon the cross. And he was accomplishing the victory for his kingdom. So the idea here is, press on in the battle. Why? Because the victory has been accomplished. Jesus confessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate, testified of the right and good things, died upon the cross, and accomplished our salvation. Now, in the knowledge of this great God who gives life, and Christ Jesus who confessed a good confession, the commission comes to us in verse 14. Keep this commandment without spot and unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. Flee, pursue, lay hold on eternal life. Be faithful unto the end. Keep this until the very end. That's the encouragement of Paul to Timothy in his work and calling as a pastor. Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Do that in bringing God's word. Do that in governing the church in the right way. And that's the word of God to me as well as a pastor. Fight the good fight of faith by bringing the truth of the word of God, laboring diligently and faithfully in that, and be faithful in the government of the church with the elders. Do this work in such a way that is without spot and above reproach, in the way of godliness. Serve well the church and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not just encouragement for Timothy and not just encouragement for me. This is also encouragement to you, the soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This word is meant to rally you and to encourage you in the calling that you have been given, and we need it. Because I don't know about you so much, but I do know about me. And at times the battle is wearisome. It's a struggle. It's a struggle fighting against sin. It's a struggle to flee. It's a struggle to pursue. It's a struggle to be faithful. It's a struggle to keep our eyes fixed on everlasting life. It's a great struggle. But the Word of God comes and says, remember what God Himself says, the God who gives life, and Jesus Christ who gave a good confession and then accomplished our salvation. And now go forward in this battle and fight this good fight of faith. And in that, be without spot and without reproach. Be holy and be godly in this life. Ideas, don't live in sin and give targets for the enemies to shoot at. So be faithful. That's the word, the commission of God Himself. And then after bringing this word, Paul breaks out into a glorious doxology of praise to Jesus Christ, being reminded of the greatness of God and being reminded of the need for this great God and Jesus Christ. In the midst of this battle, Paul breaks out in praise to Jesus Christ. And these words emphasize the transcendence and the incomparable greatness of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ. We're not going to go through all of this in great detail, But notice the emphasis, first of all, upon the sovereignty of God, the only potentate. We may not be so familiar with that word, but the word indicates this, that God is a mighty and powerful God. He is the source of all power and strength. He possesses all power and strength. And connected to that is that He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the King who rules over all kings. He is the Lord who rules over all lords. Nothing happens in this world except He ordains it, and He does it. What a powerful reminder for us tonight. Everybody's concerned about coronavirus. But we must not forget the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings who's in control of all viruses and diseases in this world. And there are those concerned about the leadership of our own land. And there's a right concern there, but we don't forget that we know the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the one who is the mighty ruler over all things. And this great God in Jesus Christ possesses immortality. That means more than that, He's eternal. But the idea here is that God in Jesus Christ is the never-failing fountain of life. It fits with the idea that He is the God who quickens. He gives life because He is a God of life. And Jesus Christ, remember, is the resurrection and the life. And Jesus Christ is the one who dwells in the light that no man can approach unto, emphasizing again the incomparable greatness of God revealed in Jesus Christ. And Paul here is praising God for His power, for His incomparable greatness, and for the life that God gives to His people. And then he says, to whom be honor and power everlasting. This is important for us to remember in the midst of the battle. In fact, you could even say that part of the battle is this. Fighting the good fight of faith is this. It's praising God. Maybe this is a number five to the four things we looked at in the first point. A number five. Don't forget that part of fighting the good fight of faith is praising God for His greatness and majesty. And don't forget it. God's people have not forgotten this. Think of Peter and John in the prison in Jerusalem. Through the night, what were they doing? Singing praises to God. Paul and Silas in the prison in Philippi. Imprisoned for their preaching the gospel, what were they doing during the night? Praising God. And so also we do that in this fight of faith. If we're in prison someday, if we might have to die for our faith, but through the struggles and the sufferings we go through now, we include in this fight against sin and living in godliness that we praise the God who gives us life, who rules over all, and gives us a sure and certain victory through Jesus Christ. May we live our lives in that way, praising this great God. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the word of Thee, our God, the Commander-in-Chief that has come to us tonight, encouraging us in this commission given to us to fight the good fight of faith. Father, Thou who art the Almighty God, Thou who art the life-giving God, we pray that Thou will give to us the strength we need to fight this good fight of faith in our lives in this week. And give us the strength even that we need to depend upon Thee for all things. May we flee all sin. May we pursue godliness in all that is right. May we be those who keep our eyes fixed on the prize of everlasting life. And may we be faithful unto the return of Jesus Christ. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.